Is it still morning or is it afternoon? Good morning. I want to get that wrong. It's truly good to be here. The bishop tells me that I am the new rector of this wonderful cathedral and this great parish, and I want you to know it's truly good for me to be here. I'm delighted. My name is Father Josh Eli. I was here briefly 4 years ago for the summer helping out while Monsignor Richter was on sabbatical, and then I was sent into exile in Rome for 4 years, and now I'm able to come back, and I'm delighted with Bishop Vetter having to go to Helena. I've been rector for 3 days now, and so far so good. Nothing's burned down yet, and I pray it doesn't. But know that I am delighted to be here with you as your rector. I spent the last 4 years a hard time in Rome, working at the Vatican, working for Pope Francis. It was a delight. It wasn't such a hard time. I was a little bit worried about coming back because I've missed 6 years of North Dakota winters that I can barely even remember. I've been marinating in olive oil for 6 years. I could barely even remember what it was like, and then I got here and I said, this isn't so bad, right? We have 3 more months of this, right? 40 degrees? 3 more months? What do you say? Yep. All right, let's storm the heavens. 3 more months of 40 degrees. Yeah, I'm sure it'll come. But it is good to be here, and not only is it good for me to be back in my hometown and in this wonderful church and parish, it's also a great time to be here this Advent season. What a beautiful time. I know your lives are busy. There's extra things to do and preparations to make, but there is something beautiful about this time. I hope you're experiencing it. When we take our journey from this crib, which will soon be out here, to the cross, and we renew, we remember what this journey, this Christian journey, is all about. As you know, Advent is a time of waiting, right? Advent, Adventus, means the coming. So we're waiting for the coming, and we're remembering what went on 2,000 years ago, and we're also waiting for the next. But waiting is not so easy, as you know well. It's not easy for me. I'm guessing it's not easy for you. When I was a small child, we used to make Advent chains at St. Anne's grade school out of construction paper, and you tore one off each day, and you had it running down the wall, and then there was baby Jesus at the top. It seemed to take forever. It seemed like years. Now, you could get up there and then get your presents. Waiting's not easy. It wasn't when I was a child, and it's still not. I've been in Rome for, as I said, for the last roughly 4 or 6 years. I was only here for 4 months in between. And in Rome, those of you who have been there know that you learn how to wait. Things aren't nearly as efficient as they are in the beautiful upper Midwest. And I thought I had it all figured out. I'd learned the patience, and God said, no, Father Eli, you're not done learning how to wait. So upon landing in New York just 3 days ago, JFK Airport, the wind came and a little bit of snow, and they said, we need to de-ice the plane. I was so eager to get home. I've been gone for a long time. And then we waited, and what was an hour turned into two, not moving, by the way, on the tarmac, turned into three, turned into four, and then five. 5 hours on the tarmac. God is saying, I want to teach you how to wait. What did he ever? Watched a few good movies, took a nap, and waiting. And then finally, we took off. And then we got to Minneapolis Airport, and I'm excited to be home in Bismarck and see my parents. And by the time we touched down after that five-hour delay on the tarmac at JFK, the last flight to Bismarck had already left. So I got to spend my first night back home on one of those gray mats that they give you, all the poor people that miss their flights. So when I say it's good to be here, I really mean it. My first night was in the airport. 4 hours of sleep, it was all right. And you guys did a great job with that rectory. But after sleeping on the floor of the airport, I'd have taken anything. But good job with that rectory. It's very nice. And then I thought it was all over, and I had awaited all my belongings because I'd been living over there for years. I had shipped them all, and hoped to see them when I was here in the garage, ready to be unpacked, my clothes, my personal belongings, and got a call from the shipping company. It said, your shipment is stuck in customs in New Jersey. So in there are all a lot of my clothes and everything else, so I apologize in advance, but I'll probably be wearing the same thing for the next 2 weeks. You won't know the difference. We wear black all the time. So I'm still waiting. But it's good to wait, and we got to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, at this time, why is the church asking us to wait? For whom are we waiting? For what? We know the answer. For whom are we waiting? Jesus. Absolutely. But wait a minute, he already came. When are we going to wait for him? He already came. He came 2,000 years ago. 8 pounds, 7 ounces, little baby Jesus came to save the world. The church is saying, yes, we know that. And she wants two things of us during this Advent season, each year, to remember, to wait. To number one, remember what it would have been like for those, for Mary and Joseph, for the good, faithful Jews of the time who had been awaiting a Savior. They'd been through a lot. Crossing the Red Sea, you know the whole beautiful story of the salvation history. 40 years in the desert, trials and tribulations, successes and great failures. They just wanted help. They were tired. They wanted a Savior. Give us hope. Church says, we're still living that cycle, aren't we? Life gets hard. We want to be reminded that there is hope. They wanted it more than we can imagine. So that Christmas day, the joy in Mary and Joseph's heart and the shepherds is real, because they wanted help. They wanted a Savior. And he came as a small child. The church wants us to remember that on the 25th of December. There is great joy in what happened 2,000 years ago, because we still want it a bit, a little bit of help, a little bit of assurance that there is something bigger and better awaiting us. And it is, because this world, as wonderful as it is imperfect. And the church also in this time wants us to renew our longing for the second coming of Jesus. He came once. He's going to come again. We're going to meet him face to face. They want us to be renewed with longing, as the prayer says. Mary would long for her son to say, to you and to me, long for him. It's going to be wonderful. He has a place for you. He wants to meet you. He knows you and he loves you. So we have to remember the joy of that day 2,000 years ago, because it's still real today. And we have to look forward with longing for the second coming of Jesus. It's going to be glorious. And he loves us. He loves us and has prepared a beautiful place for us. But in the meantime, as we heard in the gospel, Jesus is also Emmanuel. He came once, he's coming again. But Emmanuel means God with us. So it's also a time to remember he's also here. We can't touch him in the same way that Mary and Joseph did 2,000 years ago, or as we will at the end of time, as he applies his mercy to us and we stay on the right track. But we can see him and experience him veiled in the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament, veiled in the love of our family where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. See him veiled in the poor. He is God with us. So the church wants us not only to remember what happened, what will happen, but what's happening right now. Brothers and sisters, God is with us. Sometimes, you know, for some, Christmas is not an easy season. If that's you or if someone you know, it's a good reminder. Don't worry. God is with you now and loves you beyond all imagining. I hope to be here for some years. I'm only 40 years old. I know you've been through a lot of different pastors and rectors the last couple of years. I'm only 40. I'm going nowhere. So let's make this work. What do you say? And my mother wouldn't put up with it either. There she is. I can't leave again. But in my time here, I will do my best to help you to prepare to meet Jesus face to face someday. Someday to meet him. It's coming to us all, and it is meant to be wonderful. Not dreadful, wonderful. And I will do my best to help you to know that he is here now. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us. Just three suggestions for this Christmas season. Not that you need anything else on your plate right now. But since it's my job to offer you suggestions, I'm going to do that. Number one, give and receive mercy. If you haven't, there's someone that you need to forgive. Do that this Christmas season. It's a great time to get over things and say, I'm sorry. And receive it. Receive it from God if you haven't gone to confession. We have one more penance service today at 3 o'clock at Ascension. It's so beautiful. We heard confessions here last night for 2 hours and 45 minutes, Father John Paul Gartner and I. It was wonderful. Nothing more beautiful than giving and receiving mercy, because where mercy is, there is God, because God is mercy, as Pope Francis recently wrote and reminds us often. Number two suggestion, remember to be grateful. Some of you are already very grateful people. Some of you are perfectionists like me, and we see everything broken. But it's good for us to remember to be grateful. If there's someone you need to thank in your family, in your life, don't let the opportunity pass this Christmas. Maybe a spouse or children. Say thank you. See the good and thank them. And be good to the poor this Christmas. Be generous to them. God is so close to them. Those are suggestions. I hope you accept one or two or all. But I have one assignment for all of you. It's not optional. Oh, here it comes. It's easy. You can do it in 3 seconds as I walk over to my chair. Pray for me. Pray for me that I may truly serve you well as God wants me to. Pray for me, and if I don't see you on Tuesday or Wednesday, Merry Christmas and God bless you.